This edition of The Standard is brought to you by the AXA Startup Angel Competition. I'm Sharmadine Reed, founder and CEO of The Stack World, and I'm here to help you turn your business dream into reality. There are six chances to win the competition, including two top prizes of £25,000, mentoring from myself and leading UK founders, plus business insurance for a year thanks to AXA. Go to standard.co.uk/AXA Startup Angel for details on how to enter and complete your entry by the 2nd of June 2024. Good luck.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers, and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
From the Evening Standard in London, I'm Hamish McBain, and welcome to Who Wants to Be a London Mayor?
We'll see, won't we? I want to expose the fact that he'll do a consultation and then take absolutely no notice of it whatsoever.
I'm really proud that I was the mayor who froze TfL fares between 2016 and 2021. What Londoners want to see is a mayor doing his job he's required to do by statute.
A series of special episodes of the Standard podcast focusing on London's bitterly contested mayoral election. Consult the polls for the London mayoral election and they will tell you that Sadiq Khan is going to walk it. But, as any polling nerd or historian will tell you, the numbers can change. And very quickly. It only takes one top-tier gaffe, one unforgivable utterance, and suddenly everything can change. Just look at what happened with Labour's recent rowing back on their £28 billion Green pledge and then the Rochdale and Hindburn by-election scandals. Yes, Labour are still miles ahead, but were they to keep this kind of U-turning up for the rest of the year, coupled with the Tories pulling themselves together, even just a little bit, I know, but humour me, then they could be in trouble come crunch time. There's ULEZ, of course, and crime, which, though there are always ways to spin it, does not feel as though it has improved during Sadiq's tenure. Plus, also more simply, he's been London Mayor for ages. Could it be time for a change? His main worry will be the Tory candidate Susan Hall, who is the unpolished diametric opposite of Khan. It does feel, though, that outside of political geeks and news junkies, the actual Londoners don't have a clear idea of exactly what she stands for, or even just who she is. Just witness this selection of Londoners that I stopped in the street around Borough to ask about her. Are you aware of the Tory candidate, Susan Hall?
No.
Are you aware of Susan Hall, the Tory candidate?
Only very vaguely. I'm not a massive Tory supporter. I am far much more left-leaning.
Are you aware of the Tory candidate Susan Hall? Do you know her?
No.
You don't know her? No. Okay. And are you aware of Susan Hall, the Tory candidate?
No, I'm not. That's honest truth, yeah.
Okay.
But I think, from my point of view, I think a change will be good.
Are you aware of Susan Hall, the Tory candidate?
No. Oh my God, I'm just going to Google all this when I get home. This is so bad. I honestly don't. I haven't been following.
Now we're joined in the studio by Evening Standard City Hall editor Ross Lydall and Noah Vickers, the Standard's Open Democracy reporter covering City Hall. The polls have got it pretty definitively that this is a one-horse race for London Mayor. Is it a one-horse race in both of your eyes? Is it Sadiq Khan or does Susan Hall have a chance?
Well, I actually asked him about the polling pretty recently. I said to him, look, you're more than 20 points ahead. That's clearly a very comfortable lead. And he said, I've been in this business too long to believe the polls. You know, he talked about 2016 and the Brexit victory and Donald Trump and said that, you know, nothing can be taken for granted. In fact, what he said before is that Susan Hall's victory in London could be the start of a kind of move towards the right across the world in 2024, talking about Donald Trump in the US elections later this year, the European elections in May. That's part of the narrative he's trying to spin. He had similar poll leads ahead of the 2021 contest, and that did end up narrowing considerably. so that he was only a few points ahead of Sean Bailey in the end. But the way things are looking, he's got a very comfortable lead, and I wouldn't be too worried if I were in his shoes.
As Noah says, this isn't unusual. You know, I had a look back through some of the coverage we did for the 2021 election, which was delayed by a year. It should have been 2020. We ran a couple of polls at which Sadiq was on 53% against 28% for Sean Bailey, who was a Tory candidate at the time. One a few weeks later then had Sadiq just down slightly at 51% and Sean Bailey up at 29%. And all the talk at the time was the idea that Sadiq might be the very first mayor to actually win the election without the need for a second round of voting. That didn't happen in the end. The key point here is that the voting system to elect the mayor is going to change in the forthcoming May election. Previously, Londoners had two votes and they could choose, you know, a first preference and a second preference. And if their first preference, it didn't make it through to the second round, then the second preference may have counted. For example, say if they voted Green or Lib Dem and then put Sadiq or Sean Bailey second choice, then once the Green or the Lib Dem had failed to make it through to the last two, then their second choice vote would become a sort of valid vote. And what did that mean for Sadiq and Sean Bailey? Well, Sadiq was only 120,000 votes ahead of Sean Bailey after the first round of voting in 2021. But once the second preferences were added, Sadiq then got an extra 100,000 votes. So he had a comfortable majority over Sean Bailey come the sort of the final tally. And also just looking at the percentages, you know, the poll said 51, 53% 3 or 4 months out. He actually won with 40% of vote in the first round and then it narrowed slightly. I think it would be a shock if Sadiq won by 50% this time round, especially one, because the voting system changed, and two, because it is his, or it could be his third term. And normally there's the general sense of whoever's been in power, whether it's Sadiq Khan, Tony Blair, Margaret Thatcher, third time round, the support tends to fall away, certainly in comparison to their first time.
Some of the people we've been going out speaking to for this, like we spoke to some taxi drivers and people working in transport and stuff, just in general, they do seem to, you know, off the record or whatever, they don't seem to be a big fan of his. But I'm just wondering, you obviously are out and about speaking to people about this stuff all the time. What's your sense of Londoners in general? I mean, it does feel like a lot of people are quite a little bit weary of Sadiq now, a bit, maybe perhaps he's just been there for too long.
Yeah, I think that's something that all politicians running for a third term are going to come up against. You know, when we look at Margaret Thatcher and Tony Blair's time in office and the fact that they were able to win those third terms, they really are exceptions in that they were able to win comfortable majorities at that point. That's why we kind of look back to them. And I think there's always going to be a degree of fatigue for any candidate standing. But certainly, Sadiq has become unpopular with, you know, sections of London's electorate in ways that aren't really recoverable necessarily, such as, for example, you talk to people in the taxi trade who feel that, you know, the roads have become more congested and that the sort of focus is entirely on pedestrians and cyclists and active travel. And indeed, pretty recently, there was the interesting scrapping of the low traffic neighbourhood in Streatham, which only came about really because the issue was raised in City Hall. Sadiq Khan kind of recognised publicly that it wasn't working and had to intervene. So it was interesting that happening so soon before an election.
What are both of your impressions of Susan Hall?
I think she's a refreshing politician because she said herself she's not really worried about saying things that will get her into trouble. She doesn't see herself as someone who's kind of being hemmed in by what she can and can't say, according to her party. And she's put in a lot of really memorable performances on the London Assembly. That's a job she's been doing for several years now, often, you know, trying to get a rise out of the mayor on particular issues, usually around policing and crime, which is the big focus of her campaign. And I think it's going to lead to some very entertaining debates. And I think she will hold her own very effectively in them.
One of the other journalists who covered City Hall said to me privately that she seems to have a hide as thick as an elephant's backside in terms of the sort of jibes that are aimed at her. She's had a pretty rough time since being chosen by the Tories as their candidate last July. She's had a couple of bloopers, shall we say. I think she's a pretty effective local or London politician, if you like. She's not stupid by any means. Perhaps doesn't fit the demographic of young London as we might see it, as a sort of you know, trendy media organisation like the Evening Standard, but I think she may tick the box for many Londoners living in the suburbs who think and look exactly like her. So as Noah quite rightly says, she cannot be discounted. And on the face of it, she may be a slightly stronger candidate to attract the core Tory vote than Sean Bailey was.
I think really interesting point there made about her selection and the sort of, you know, what's been said about her since being chosen in the summer last year as the candidate. There was an interesting piece in Politics Home where some insiders in the Tory party were saying that they were disappointed by her being chosen and that they feel like they've missed an opportunity to defeat Sadiq Khan. One of them, interestingly, was saying that they feel she's not making enough inroads with HENRYs, which stands for High Earning, Not Rich Yet, young people living in inner London, you know, who might be inclined to vote Conservative, but just aren't being switched on at all by what she's saying about the ULEZ and about struggles in the suburbs.
Coming up, why the other candidates might not stand a chance of winning, but could collectively cause a headache for the two frontrunners.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.
What do you think of the other candidates?
The Greens are standing Zoe Garbutt, who's a councillor in Hackney. I think in previous contests, you know, they've stood assembly members, they've stood people that are sort of better recognised across London and the country. The Greens have come third in the last three elections, so they're very much making the case that they are kind of the third party in London. The Lib Dems have chosen Rob Blackie, who's a digital marketer, and he sort of campaigns against disinformation around the war in Ukraine. But it is notable he's never been elected to anything before. He's never been a councillor. You know, being mayor of London has the second biggest electorate of any contest in Europe after the president of France. So it is notable that a lot of these parties aren't choosing people necessarily who people have heard of.
I've met Zoe Garbutt. I was quite impressed by her. But I was kind of thinking she's probably a very good campaigner. Is she somebody you would necessarily want running City Hall? Has she got the experience? Well, probably not. But then she probably doesn't expect to win. She probably just wants to be the right person for people who want to vote Green to have a good alternative to do. You know, the thing to remember here, obviously, we've got the first past the post voting system this time. It really is a two-horse race. And that the other candidates, by and large, all they'll do, if the other candidates are good, most of them will probably take votes away from Sadiq Khan. There aren't too many of the other candidates who would take away, if you like, people who are more inclined to vote Susan Hall. So the worry for Sadiq is that if Zoe Garbutt does well and if Rob Blackie does well, these are Londoners who might have been tempted to vote for him and could have done under the old system, but can't now vote for him under the current new, or the return to the sort of traditional voting. So that's why he's going on with this idea of lend me your vote. We're going to hear this many times now in the forthcoming days and weeks. And Sadiq will be making a big play to get Lib Dems and Greens to lend me your vote, give him their vote rather than voting for their own candidate, because otherwise he'll say to them, the risk is he'll let Susan Hall in through the back door.
If all these people were to run it all, nick a little bit of the cake that Sadiq was trying to get, then you could very, well, not very feasibly, but relatively feasibly be in a situation where they collective, it could come down to a very narrow margin.
And equally on Susan's side, there are countless independent candidates now who are pledging to get rid of the ULEZ and sort of go further than she would. Most notably among them, not an independent, but Reform UK's candidate, Howard Cox. They've been doing well nationally, kind of creeping up at or above the level that the Lib Dems are at. They probably won't do as well in London, but it's worth bearing in mind that there are a lot of people making similar pitches to Susan Hall on the kind of war on the motorist.
How close will this election be? Well, one thing's for sure is that if you look at Sadiq's behaviour in the last few weeks, it looks like he's concerned because he has given his magic money tree an almighty shake. He's had about £500 million of a sort of windfall that's come about largely through extra business rates and council tax receipts. He had the choice of investing this money. For example, many people on the central line might say, well, can you just fix these bleeding trains, Mr. Mayor? But Sadiq has chosen to spend the money in another way. So he's going to extend for a second year his free school meals for all primary school children in London, which would probably be incredibly popular with parents. He has set aside £30 million to increase the pay rates for all London Underground staff. This was done just at the start of January to avert tube strikes. And he has frozen TfL fares for another year, which is costing him, I think, £123 million. So Sadiq has essentially splurged all this cash ahead of the election in the hope of essentially buying some votes in a non-criminal way, shall we say, in the hope that people will reward him at the ballot box. So he's gone early. He's sort of spent the cash. He's put the cash on the table. He said, vote for me and all these goodies are coming down the track.
There's much more news and features in the Evening Standard newspaper and online at standard.co.uk. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Dallaglio, host of the Evening Standard Rugby Podcast, brought to you in partnership with QBE Business Insurance. The show is available to listen to now and right up to the end of the season, when the winners of the Champions Cup will be crowned at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and the fight for the Premiership title will be decided at Twickenham. QBE is one of the world's leading insurers and they will help your business build resilience through risk management and insurance solutions. Subscribe and download now wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.